Good morning, everybody.
I trust you are doing well. Amen. We had an awesome time of worship and welcoming you people. How exciting is it to be alive at this time? Amen. So, as you know, we're dealing with the subject of the renewed mind. And you know what's interesting is that my journey of renewing my mind probably really only took off in about 2007, 2006. And it was only when I understood Romans 12, verse 2, that I actually realized that what I was looking for out there had already been deposited in here. See, because often I was going to church to look for Jesus when actually I was supposed to bring Jesus to church. It's the gathering of Jesus, by the way. That's the church. It's not, there are seekers, but if you're a believer, you carry him. And so for me, that was a massive shift in, you know, my journey of renewing my mind. So I'm very excited that we're doing this, because I think that no matter what place you find yourself at, it's easy to still find things that you need to renew your mind to. Often people say that the Christian life is one of constant repentance. And that sounds shocking, but that's because people often have a misunderstanding of what repentance is. Repentance isn't about beating your chest and crying for a week and hoping that that was good enough for God to forgive you. Repentance is changing your mind, metanoia. It means to change direction. It means to stop going in the wrong way and to turn around and go in the right way. And so when you renew your mind, you are constantly recognizing you're on the wrong path and turning around and picking the right path. And that's a constant thing in our lives. As we catch ourselves on the wrong path in certain areas of our lives, if we have the word distilled in our hearts, we get to the right place. And so in this whole series, we're focusing on this main verse here in Colossians 1, 15 to 17, that really describes a very deep truth about the fabric of our universe and eternity and how it all interconnects into our world. And you'll see that at the middle of it is Jesus. And it says here, he is the image of the invisible God. That's Jesus. The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. Now, if you consider that statement, it's rather an all-encompassing statement of everything. He is in everything above and beneath, inside and out, forever and ever, in time and in space. He's everywhere. And so, you've got to understand that we will find ourselves in him at some point, because everything is in him. And ultimately, we want to come to a place of realization of where we are in him so that we can really get to the place of where we should be in him. Does that make sense? And so because of this, it's nice to kind of break it down so that you understand clearly the kind of realms in which we are, in a sense, connected to. So you'll find that in God's realm, there's the unseen, uncreated, and that is because God had no beginning and no end. He wasn't born. He always existed. He isn't a being tied to time. He's outside of time and space, and so he always existed. And from there, everything else came into existence. So if God created something, it would first be in the unseen created. In other words, it's still in the unseen, but it is that which he has created, because he was originally unseen, uncreated. And then obviously we know that God also gave rise to us. The seen created in this realm is where we're at. Does it make sense to everyone? Okay. And so we see there's a very strong parallel here between us being physical beings who have a spiritual connection to the unseen, uncreated. And that's the reason why we kind of use this idea here of the spirit, soul, and body. Now, the primary thing here is to understand that we are a triune being. So you are a spirit that has a soul that lives inside of a body. Okay, just like a driver has a car that needs an engine. Does it make sense? And the car, if it's in an accident, do you say the car was in an accident or do you say you were in an accident? But was the car in the accident? But you still say you were in the accident, isn't it? Because you are still a complete whole being. You're not just one of these layers. Even when you're in the car becomes an extension of you. Isn't that right? So remember that for the sake of splitting up what we're talking about, we might split things up, but they are all holistically connected to one another. They do have an impact on one another, and they should, because if they don't, then it's just what we would call vain musings. It's not actually anything real. Am I right? So if you say that you believe you can, for example, hold your breath for 20 seconds, then you better be able to. If you can't, then you don't really believe that. And you wouldn't say you believe that if you couldn't. Am I right? So what you believe has to actually become part of how you act, which is how the renewing of the mind works. So it works from this place of where we learn things here about who God is, who we are, and then we change our position, we renew our minds to the position that God has placed us in so that we can live from the place that He lives from. Does it make sense? So we're looking at renewing our minds. That means understanding where we already are so that we can live like we're already there now. Does it make sense? Because God has already placed us, and you'll see this, He's already placed us at the right hand of Jesus in heavenly places. So guess what? We're above all principalities, powers, darkness, and rulers of this world. But often, we don't feel like we are. Or we don't think like we are. And so I'm going to explain how this works within our relationship with the Father so that we can get a better understanding of who our Daddy is. Amen? All right. This is a very puzzling picture, I'm sure. How many of you like spices? How many of you believe that? I mean, you're a Durbanite. You should like spices. Right? People, you know, other people talk about us, about how wicked our spices are, by the way. So, if you look at this spice bottle here, you'll see that the first one with the little green lid over there, I wonder if this thing works, this one over here. Yeah, it's green inside, but you can't see. So it's a red lid, okay? And then if you look over here, you'll see there's a little seal. How many of you have ever tried to shake the salt out or the spice out with that little seal? Like, I've done it a couple of times, like, oh, there's a seal. Ever had that happen? Yeah, thank goodness I'm not alone. All right, so you can see, right? That seal there is before you get born again. That seal is like before you come into a knowledge of Christ, before you get saved. All the good things that God wants to come into your life are stuck. They're stuck. They're not connected to God. And then when you get born again, that seal gets opened up. And now you're actually connected to the source of life. And you can actually let the good stuff out. Okay, don't take the allegory too far, but hopefully you understand. Right, so then that's it. And then when you go further, you'll see that on the cap, right, there are these different kind of mechanisms where you can turn it to where it's just going to give you a sprinkle of the spice, right? Or you can turn it to where it's going to pour the spice out, right? Okay, so that's kind of when you start growing in the Lord and you find yourself living from more of the unseen created, because you're actually opening up the flow of life into the lives of others. You're becoming the salt of the earth, right? Does that make sense? All right? And this is as your soul is coming into agreement with the Word of God about any particular truth in your life. And then ultimately, when you reach the living from your true created potential, and you're living from the unseen, uncreated, because that is how you're living now, then you decide to take the cap off. because there's no limit now. Does that make sense? It's like, so all these restrictions and limits are there, but they're only there because they exist here. Amen. Okay, so as much as it seems a bit confusing, hopefully the explanation helped to clarify. Amen. All right, so this is an important slide I want you to understand, because this helps us understand our relationship with God, because it helps us understand our position in God. All right? So you'll see here in the far left column, we've got the created in the garden. All right? And you'll see there's the Godhead, and in the Godhead, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? Everyone happy with that? All right. After that, we have mankind, we have the angels, and we have demons. Mankind was created in God's image. Angels were not created in God's image. So in the original creation, we were here. Psalm 8 says, who is man that you are mindful of him, that you made him just a little lower than yourself? That is where God created man originally. Got it? All right. So then we have Adam and Eve falling. In other words, Adam refuses to chase that spineless devil out. And Eve gets deceived. And then we end up in the fall. And you'll see that the Godhead is still intact. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? You guys all keeping track here? And you'll see there's a little arrow pointing down here. And you'll see that man falls to below the demons as he becomes subject to sin. So as he bows his knee to sin, he allows himself to be ruled by demonic forces. And he's at literally completely dethroned from his original position. So man's position was originally here. And now man's position is there. This is fallen man's position. That's why sickness and disease and all the things that happened to people in the Old Testament happened so easily and so quickly. It was because they were literally under the thumb of this, and legally so, because they had violated God's law. And so there was actually a legal precedent for these things to attack them. But when Jesus came, he took that legal precedent away, all right, through the new covenant that he established. And he brought us from here into being redeemed in Christ. And you'll see that we are in the Son. So you've got the Godhead, the Father, the Son, man, and the Holy Spirit. You get it? And then you get the angels and demons and other. And the other principalities, powers, rulers, darkness. This help you visualize kind of where we're at. So when you're born again, you're often still living from this place, because that's how we are all programmed to live from, instead of living from that place, which we have now been seated in. Okay, so remember that, and that's why our relationship with our Father is so very important, because if we misunderstand who He is, He will treat us the way we want to be treated. So for example, I don't know if you guys remember the parable of the talents, where the guy says, you are a master, and you seek to reap where you never sowed, and you expect too much from your servants. He says that to the master, and the master wasn't really like that, but the master ends up treating him like that because he believed that about the master. And so what you believe about the Father is how you end up getting treated, and it's also how you end up treating others. Because the way the Father treats you is how you'll treat other people, because you'll believe that that's the way that you should, because you don't know who your dad really is. So, who is your daddy? So, as we aim to live from the unseen, uncreated, you guys all understand what I mean by that now? As we aim to live from this place of being in the Godhead with the Father, okay? We often travel through different areas of our lives in the seen created and the unseen created. So we end up being developed in different areas to different degrees, from different perspectives, because our minds are renewed at different levels. Is that all good? Right. Okay. So I want you to put some glasses on. Because just like you had to read the Old Testament with the lens of the gospel, you're going to have to see life with the lens of the unseen, uncreated. Are you with me? If you want to live from the unseen, uncreated, you have to see life through the lens of the unseen, uncreated. And currently there are people who see life through the lens of the seen, created, and they see it very materialistically. And when they see life through the unseen, created, they see it supernaturally. So you get those who are very logically minded, those who are very supernaturally minded. And then you see that those who live from the unseen, uncreated, they are limitless. They have no restrictions on their knowledge or their power. Both of them, they're not putting any limits on what God is capable of doing or is able to do in and through them. Does that make sense? So based on your expectations of what God can do, your relationship with your Father will change, and I'll explain that to you now. So from the seen created perspective, this is where we are introduced to God as our Father, but we still don't know Him. Now, how many of you know you can know about someone and not know them? Okay, so we can read here in this book about David, and we can probably get to know David pretty well, but do we know David? No, we don't. So we can read this book about God, and we can get to know God pretty well, but do we know God? So reading your Bible is an invitation to get to know God, so that you have a baseline by which you are able to compare whether it's God speaking to you or something else. Because how else will you know? Have you noticed there's three major voices speaking to you all the time? And they all sound like you. But they don't all carry the same information. And so you recognize the voice by recognizing what information is coming your way by filtering it through the information you've already been given. And that's why a good understanding of the Word is so important and paramount, because many people I know who I've started with have gone off into craziness without thinking about the fact that what they're doing contradicts Scripture. And we're not here to contradict Scripture. We're here to manifest it and live it out. In fact, the more the world goes backwards, the more we don't see it happen. Am I right? So also, just another thing about this whole renewal of the mind process, I want you to understand that you can renew your mind and then you can also unrenew your mind. In other words, you can renew your mind and get to a decent understanding, and then you can allow other people to influence you and unrenew your mind to the point where you let go of all the renewing you've done. And it can happen through your family, through the news, it can happen through television, through life experience. It can happen by you just not putting the Word into practice. And then you just allowing it to. So this is a statement that I believe God gave me a while ago. He says, if you're not actively renewing your mind, then the world is passively trying to unrenew it. And so you have to be constantly vigilant about what you believe and what you're thinking, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen? So we see that from this perspective, when people live from the seen created, which is largely from the fleshly realm, they compare God to their earthly fathers often. They try to make out that God is very similar to their earthly fathers, or they have the same kind of hesitation they've had with their earthly fathers. And sometimes if they've had a good experience with their earthly fathers, they also have the wrong kind of idea, because their earthly fathers weren't perfect and God is way better than any earthly father ever will be. And if you as earthly fathers are willing to give your children good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven not give you the Holy Spirit if you ask for Him? Which is why I don't believe you can ask for the Holy Spirit and get a kundalini. Okay, you didn't ask for a kundalini. You asked for a Holy Spirit. You get what you ask for. Amen? All right. So then there's another thing. Sin distorts man's image of God. So because we've come out of a world of sin and we can see sin around us and how God has had to deal with criminals in the past and how He now deals with His children, and at this point in time, we realize that there's a big difference. And so the devil constantly uses God's righteous acts against sin, which we would call judgment, as an accusation against His character and nature to try and accuse Him and bring Him on the court bench or under investigation, saying that He's not good and He's not all that He's lived up to be. And so people have a very distorted perspective, which is why renewing their minds to who God really is, how He really acts, what His true intentions are very important. Satan defames God's character by constantly accusing him in the courtroom of your mind, just as he accuses you before God in the courtroom of God's mind. Does it make sense? The devil is a great divider. He wants to bring division. And so he is constantly working to get you isolated and eliminated. That's his goal. He knows that the more time you spend with the Father, the more time you are in his presence, the more unstoppable you will be. And so the more time you end up relegating to false ideas and false concepts, the easier it is for the enemy to ensnare you in wrong thinking, and the easier it is for him to create a picture that God isn't as good as he claims to be. And so religion helps a lot here to distort man's image of God. Because a lot of what religion is about working to get a relationship from God. But in the gospel, Jesus declares the kingdom of God has come to earth, and God has made a way for us to have relationship with him through his Son. So it's not about reaching out to God. It's about God has reached down to us. And so religion is constantly actually trying to get us to do more so that he can love us more, when in reality, he loves us already. He loved us when we were sinners. So can you see how the wisdom can be so different? And so as we renew our minds, we begin to live from a different perspective. Okay? And this is the thing that most of us face, because we've got physical examples of what a father is like. Okay? And so we can make some wrong assumptions. And you might ask, well, what is this big ball of green goo over here? How many of you have encountered this stuff before? What is it? Anyone ever thought this was Abba? I know a couple of friends who went to buffets who thought it was Abba. And they figured they were going to take all the Abba before anyone could get any. And they ended up taking a real big tablespoon of wasabi in their mouths. How many of you know that can be quite shocking? If you've never encountered wasabi before, it will definitely help you cry. I think actors use it. Okay, so here's the thing. My daughter, when she was very young, she likes sushi. So when we had some wasabi left, I told her not to have any because she was very young and it would shock her. So she said to me, and she quickly grabbed it and put it in her mouth. And she learned very quickly that listening to dad is a good idea. Because she started bawling her eyes out. Okay? And then obviously I comforted her and I told her, you should have listened. You should have listened to what I said. Now you've gone and hurt yourself. But fortunately she was okay. It wasn't too bad. But the psychological ramifications of this was that she stayed away from Abba for a very long time. And whenever we would invite her to have some, she'd say, no, that stuff's too spicy for me. And then eventually, I think she realized that it wasn't the one and the same thing. And so often, by having a misconception of something, by thinking one thing is another, you will stay away from it. You will avoid it because it's painful, because you have the wrong idea. So as you renew your minds to understand the truth about something, then you come to an understanding of, oh, okay, that is not the same thing as the other. Amen? So this is often when we start to live from the unseen created. It's when we begin to relate to God as our Father in heaven, who has our best interests at heart. We know that God is good. We know that his plans for us are good, that his plans for us are to prosper us and to keep us for life and not for death, that he's for us and not against us. And we're still getting to know him, but we've left the starting plate. We're building a relationship with God. And we're encountering supernatural things happening. We're trusting him for supernatural provision. We're trusting him for supernatural health. We're trusting him in different areas. But we're still growing in our understanding of where we actually already are. Is this making sense? All right, awesome. The unseen created is where we see God as supernatural. We experience his supernatural love. We expect his supernatural power. And we see God's attributes as good. We know about him and we are getting to know him. And every time we choose to believe what God says in spite of how we feel or what we see, our circumstances change and we come to a greater experiential understanding or knowledge of His goodness and faithfulness. So as we step out in faith and we trust Him and we see it's working, then we end up getting a positive feedback loop and we end up trusting Him for more and more. Amen? Often during this time, the enemy tries to rob us of our relationship with God by testing our endurance with God's Word. Okay? So this is during the process of actually renewing your mind. This is something you definitely want to take note of. It will really help you. He says he tests our endurance with God's Word, distracting us with the cares or pleasures of this life. But if we endure and stay focused, we will overcome in every situation and circumstance. So it's really a game of, are you willing to believe this in spite of what the devil throws at you, until what he throws at you doesn't matter anymore and the situation changes? Amen? You outlast him because you are created in God's image and likeness and you don't ever end. Amen. Okay, and then people in the unseen created are continually identifying and removing any tradition of man that limits their relationship with their Father in heaven. So when you are in this place of realizing your relationship with your Father and its supernatural impact on your life, then what's happening is you start making an asserted effort to identify things that are limiting your relationship with God so that you can live from the place of the unseen, uncreated. Because there are ideas in our minds that have been established there over time through friends, family, experience that we need to root out and bring into an obedience to Christ. You guys happy? Right, so the unseen, uncreated is where we see and know God as a loving, nurturing Father whose deepest desire is to see us reach our full potential in Christ. Okay, so that's the place you want to live from. That's what you're aiming for. Where you can see God as a loving and nurturing Father whose deepest desire is to see us reach our full potential in Christ. In other words, the spirit He has put in you, He is jealous over that spirit because He wants you to reach your full potential in that spirit. He's not jealous of you, He's jealous for you. In other words, He's jealous that you should become all that He's destined you to become. Isn't that amazing? That's so awesome. I mean, I'm just preaching myself happy this morning. So living from the unseen, uncreated, this is the kind of mindset that we have. We come to an understanding that God is a rewarder and not a withholder. And His love for us is never ending and He will never disappoint us. He's a rewarder and not a withholder. You know how many people who are born again believers still believe that God's going to test them? When the Bible says that God doesn't test anyone. You know that? It says God does not test you with sin, neither can He be tempted with sin. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen? So when you understand that in Hebrews 11 it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, that means that when you seek Him, you find Him. The reward is Him. Amen? All right. And then secondly, you realize that He is faithful in all His ways and unlimited in all His power. You know, have you guys ever heard the statement that faith is spelt R-I-S-K? Have you heard it? How many of you have ever heard? Do you know what R-I-S-K is? Risk. Have you ever heard that statement? Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So that's a very common phrase. Fortunately, you guys haven't been indoctrinated into that. But basically what they're saying is faith is spelled take a risk. But the reality is that there's no risk in trusting an always faithful, all-powerful, always there God. There is no risk. If you feel that there's a risk, then you're still learning to get to know Him. And often that's our problem, is that we respond to situations out of a lack of a revelation of who our Father is. And we think sometimes, where is God? Because we think if we were in that situation, we would do something about it. And our very understanding of that is what's actually limiting us from accessing the resources of heaven to bring into that situation. So we come to understand that as God is in his nature, so are we in this world. We come to understand that we are seated at his right hand and that he has placed all things under our feet because that's under his feet. We ultimately realize that we are safest when we trust him completely without reservation. He is our Father who is in heaven. We can do and be all that he says we can according to his will. Now, I mean, if my previous diagram is correct, our potential is like literally just a little lower than God himself. That's our potential. And I don't mean this in a way to try and suggest that we should replace God or anything like that. What I'm talking about is that in union with God, he has given us the same power. This is his choice. I didn't make this up. You can go read it. I mean, I wouldn't even be able to come up with this stuff. It's too good. And sometimes it's kind of nerve-ending because when you realize what it actually means and you come to grips with that, you know, it's not easy because we've been so indoctrinated in our lives to think from such a natural perspective that to understand this kind of love from an all-powerful, always there, always willing to help Father is a very difficult thing to come to grips with. Amen? So getting to know your daddy, that's the key. Am I right? Okay. Now this thing went off. That's amazing. Hallelujah. I have no signal on the device. Yeah, sure. The grace has stopped flowing one way. Okay, so I'm just going to finish up with what I know. It says in Romans chapter 1:18 that everything that can be known about God is knowable because God has revealed it to us in nature. It says that his invisible attributes, namely his divine power and his nature, which is the other word that's in there? Oh yeah, no, that's not the one. It's his divine power and his divine attributes, or his invisible attributes. Those are the ones that end up actually giving us an indication of who he is. Now, do you know that if no one has met you and someone had to explain to someone else who you are, that the best way to explain that person would be by your visible attributes and your invisible attributes. So let's say, for example, you had a twin. You'd have to rely on invisible attributes to distinguish between the two people. Am I right? So God, since he's a spirit, is in the unseen, uncreated. And so he is purely identified by his character and nature, which means that if we get to know our Father in a way that is not accurate according to his true attributes and his true power, then we will have a distorted version of who he really is. Because he's invisible. So he purely exists out of the invisible description of who he is. Is that making sense to you? Alright, so then that means that we have to understand God in light of how he has revealed himself. Unfortunately, we've got some really good record keeping happening here in the Bible for all of us. Amen. So if you want to just go in your Bible, since I have to go in my Bible, you can go there to 1 John. And we're going to just read from chapter 4, verse 7. It says there, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And it means God is love. So his main attribute is love, is love kind? Is love patient? Is love got long suffering? Does love keep a record of wrongs? Does love get irritated? Is love resentful? So when you understand who your Father is through who love is, then you can understand how He will treat you. Is that right? Because if you know that your Father is patient, then you can say, I know I need to fix this. Just be a bit more patient with me. Am I right? And when you know that He's kind, you know that when you hear a voice saying, oh, you should just give up on this Christian thing. You've been wasting everyone's time. You're just kidding around with yourself. You know that that's not God. Because why would He say that to you? He's suffering along with you. He's kind towards you. Amen? So, whenever we try and put God in the mold of the fathers we've ever had before, or the idea of a father we've ever had before, we rob God of His true potential relationship with us. Because we put limits on who He is by seeing Him through only what physical things we've experienced before. And which is why we have to say we no longer regard our Father according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24, you have one Father, your Father in heaven. Amen? You have one Father, you have one teacher, the Holy Spirit, and one Master, Jesus. Does it make sense? So you'll see that what Jesus was doing is He came to reveal who the Father is. Okay, so I think it's in John 14, if I remember correctly. You'll see that there's this very interesting thing here that Jesus does. In John 14, verse 7, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. So if you would have known me, you would have known my Father also. Okay? From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. So okay, the first statement is, if you know me, you know the Father. Okay? So from now on, you've seen the Father because you've seen me. Is that what Jesus is saying? Okay? Philip says to Him, Philip is the smart guy in the room, Lord, show us the Father and it will be enough for us. And Jesus is like, have I been with you so long and you still can't see me? Who's speaking? Are you sure? Because the tense there is Jesus speaking as the Father. Isn't that right? Jesus said, I do nothing of my own accord. I do as I see my Father doing, as I hear Him saying, I say. Isn't that right? Okay? This whole text here continues along those lines. So let's just go through it quickly because it's really powerful. It says here, I've been with you so long, do you still not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. You, how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater than these will they do, because I am going to the Father. Whoever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask anything of me, and I will do it. So what is Jesus saying? That He did His earthly ministry empowered by the Spirit of the Father. Do we not do our earthly ministry empowered by the Spirit of the Father? So the works that Jesus did, He did them because those were the works the Father wanted Him to do. Am I right? So when we finally realize that we are in the unseen, uncreated, we understand we need to be about our Father's business because nothing else matters. Because you're living from forever. Here is a blimp in the radar of eternity, and right now matters to get as many people in relationship with God, reconciled to Him, than ever before. And so our relationship with our Father, actually, when we realize how much He loves us, how much He's done for us, we realize almost at the same time how much He loves others and how much He's done for them. And just like Jesus, we see people without a shepherd over their souls. We see people who are wandering and have no one to guide them because they need the gospel. They need the good news that Daddy has come home. Amen? This morning, where you're at, it might be different for you. You might see God through the lens of your experiences, and that's where you're at. And we are encouraging you to change gears and see God from a different perspective. Amen? But at the same time, you need to also decide to actually make that shift. Amen.
That's a really outstanding word this morning. And I think our minds are being shifted, and that's the purpose of. But before more praise, which we're going to have in a moment, I just felt to clarify that Jesus is not the Father. But Jesus says, if you want to see the Father, look no further, because I'm the exact representation. This was what no other religion ever did, was called the Trinity. When Father, Son, and Holy Spirit show the same attributes and exact representation, that there's only one God. And Jesus says, you believe Father is God? Well, you've got to know that I am as well. And being seated in Christ is not inferior to being seated below God, because Jesus is God. But for divine order, they placed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in union, they are interrelated and interconnected. And renewing of the mind means, if you want to build a house, you put a scaffolding up first. The Old Testament put a scaffolding together so a knowledge of God could be created, which would culminate in Jesus, the Messiah. And when He comes, He says, look no further. Take the scaffolding down, because now you know who the Father is like. I couldn't have come and showed you 1,000 years ago. You were ready to stone me today. 1,000 years ago, you were not ready. The architecture, the furniture, the scaffolding hadn't been prepared for Jesus, for God to become flesh in the incarnation and say, now the eternal Son of God is here to show you what the Father is like. And in that moment, every warped idea, every misunderstanding of man through the history of revelation was set straight. You cannot read the Old Testament with scratched glasses anymore. You can only read them with Jesus' glasses.
Amen.
To know God properly. And what Mark has shared this morning about the Father dovetails so nicely, I believe, with last week knowing Jesus, that I just felt to come and make that aspect clear. Please, let's have some prayer.
Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so guys, like I said, you might be at different places in the sense of where your understanding is at, but I hope this morning you feel somewhat fast-tracked to live from this place of understanding that God's intention is completely good towards you. In fact, whenever you run into condemnation, you can probably be 100% sure that it's not from God. Okay? Majority of the time, it's the devil using your own guilt and shame to try and weaponize it against you. God is for you, and He's not even the one who's going to how can I put this? He's not the one who's even looking to judge you. Right now, he's completely dealt with sin. Sin is not an issue for him. He wants you free because it serves the purpose of your freedom to be free. Does that make sense? Sin kills you. That's the point why he's trying to save us from it, because it has a murderous aspect where it kills us. Amen. So this morning, no matter where you're at, I want to pray for those who are, or with those, should I say, who are keen to say, Holy Spirit, help me live from this place of the unseen, uncreated. If that's you, stand up. So, our Father, we just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, firstly, we recognize that much of our thinking about who you are hasn't always been 100% correct. And we thank you for your patience and your mercy and your kindness towards us, that even through this process, we have learned how good you are towards us. So this morning, as we stand in this place, we open up our hearts to you and we say, Abba, Abba Father, thank you for receiving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for demonstrating your character and nature to us in your Son. And Holy Spirit, will you help us to reflect the heart of our Father, his ways, his actions, his nature and his life, that his love possess us and let his love manifest through us to others. Let us be quick to forgive. Let us be slow to anger. Let us be full of mercy and compassion. Let us stand for what is right and let us stand against the onslaught of evil. Help us to not get irritated or not be resentful. Help us to believe all things, to hope all things, to endure all things. Help us to be all that you've created us to be as we live from the place seated in you, in the unseen, uncreated. In Jesus' name, amen.